Three Tail powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Man, we're already on fire today. A buddy called in, Tennessee super fan. He's pissed off that Philip Fulmer gave Jeremy Pruitt a two-year extension. And then Marlon called in and said he'll be pissed off if Tennessee doesn't go undefeated. And he said, I'll be pissed off if Garantino don't throw it to Vilas. That's what he said. That's the laughter of Blaine Bishop. Who's going to join us sooner than he wants to if he
yeah, keeps up. Yeah, we good. I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
Yeah, my man was, I guess he wants Garantano to throw it to Vilas, but he said Garantino to throw it to Vilas. I think two things. I think people are fired up that the SEC season starts tomorrow and they can't handle themselves. And number two, I think, you know, with all the quarantining and COVID stuff, that people are really into day drinking sooner.
Day drinking. Oh, okay. You must know from experience. Huh?
Especially on a Friday. I know. I'm showing Blaine a bottle of Dasani water. There may be vodka in there.
Yeah, good. It's all clear though, right?
I'm just kidding. So Tennessee and Minnesota coming up this weekend, 12 o'clock on CBS. Of course, you can catch the game right here on 104.5 The Zone. 14th all-time meeting. Tennessee has one win in Minnesota, one. And that came in 1992. Minnesota has lost three straight at home, though, and there are no fans. So that's typically, what is it with that horn, man? Oh, it's like, man, some Viking horn or something.
Oh, man, it's a long horn, man. They play throughout that whole thing when you're there, man. Yeah, 92, I was not with the team, but I wasn't but a year later, though.
Yeah, I was doing the math in my head. I was like, I think Blaine came to next year.
Nah, I came to next year, and yeah. That's when they had Robert Smith as well as Randall Cunningham,
man.
And Brad Johnson, I think they were there too all together, but I can't recall who quarterback. But I know they had Chris Carter, and I know they had Randy Moss, and they had another guy that nobody talks about. His name was Jake Reed.
Mm-hmm. From Grambling.
He was pretty freaking good, man.
You know this, and I've talked with you about one of my favorite guys because you never knew what was going to happen on the field with this guy was Dale Carter. That was his brother,
Jake. Yeah. Oh yeah, Jake Reed. Yeah, they're all related. And then I think right. Well, I think his kid went to Georgia, and then naturally Dale's son went to UT. But yeah, Jake Reed's kid went to Georgia. I think it was a defensive back, but. Yeah, man, those guys they had a potent offense with Robert Smith at the helm playing running back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure enough, how ridiculous was Randall Cunningham?
Oh, Randall Cunningham, no way, man. He was before his time.
People need to Google Randall Cunningham highlights. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, his arm must have been 6 feet long.
Yeah, he was long. He was flexible. You know, he was agile. He could run. He could throw. Yeah, man. He was pretty special. It was just really weird for me because I caught the tail end of those guys, and that was guys that I watched growing up in high school and in college. So it was kind of, you know, uncanny because I had to get over that stardom. Oh man, I'm going against Randall Cunningham. You know, at that time he was with, I think, the Eagles with Buddy Ryan and those crew. But when I got into the league, he was with the Vikings. So the Vikings, man, they've always had a good team, but they never could get over the hump. And that was their chance, honestly, to get over the hump was when they had the whole crew in 98, I want to say. And they lost to the Falcons. And the Falcons ended up going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And that was their window, man. That was it. That team there was special. I think they had Culpepper at quarterback then with the same receiving core for sure.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think a lot of people can relate to what you just said. Like, you play, like, when you got into the league, man, there were so many there were Hall of Famers on every team you played. Uh-huh. I mean, that era was just ridiculous. And so I would anticipate that there was like a moment, at least early on in your career. Number one, you're like, uh-oh, I'm out here. Let's go. But number two, like, you had to kind of snap your fingers, right? Like, I'm going against Joe Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Actually, what I did was I just ran into the goalpost and said, I better get ready. Because they told me kind of like, just happened a week or so ago, you know, with, oh, you're going to start, you know, with, let's say, Justin Herbert. How he didn't know until game day. Well, that's kind of how I ran into me as far as you know, I didn't know actually until game day. I had some insight. I practiced a couple days as a starter, but I thought the guy was going to be ready. Bubba McDowell, who's a great player from the U. Yeah, man. And I got my opportunity, and then all bets were off. You know, hey, man, now it's football. And once after the first play, then all the jitters go away and you just kind of play football. But there was no doubt when I lined up right in front of Jerry Rice, my legs were shaking. I was like, why the heck would they? I'm thinking negative. Why would the heck would they line me up against Jerry Rice in the slot, man? That don't sound like that smart. This is why I'm lining up. My legs are shaking. I'm like, dang, it sure was a long time before they snapped this ball. All I know is I kept on saying, I got to get my hands on them, or I'm going to be in a foot race that I don't want to be in. So naturally, I got just enough of them to run a little bit strive for strive for Steve Young to go somewhere else. So, yeah.
I mean, Jerry Rice ran a 4.5. No big deal.
Yeah, well, he was 4.5 on the clock. But he also ran 4.5 with uniform on. So that's always funny to me. They always say a guy, oh, he's only runs a 4.5, which is still fast, by the way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you go see him run away from all the guys that run 4.3. And it's just like, maybe some guys run better with equipment on than other guys.
Yeah, that's why I said that, because I always thought it was funny about Jerry Rice. He's like, hey, man, I'm fast enough.
I felt the same way. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm faster with my pads on.
I love it. Hey, I know you guys spent some time on this today. It was a bizarre media session. I wanted to play this for the 3HL audience, at least part of it, and then come back and talk about Vic Beasley's media session today. And a lot of people were saying that they had more questions after the presser than before. And I'll just set it up that way. Here's part of Vic Beasley's media session today with the national press.
We have to ask, what happened? Why did you come to camp and then get placed on NFI instead of getting right in the mix and being able to work with the team?
Yeah, I just had some things I had to work out. You know, it was a little disagreement here and there, but, you know, those things are behind us. And, you know, I moved on and, you know, just let bygones be bygones and, you know, just settle things and just let them be.
Is that Teresa?
Vic, welcome to Tennessee. The injury that had you on the non-football injury list, was it something that happened during this very unique offseason, and frustrated that it maybe took you as long as you needed to work through that to pass the physical?
Yeah, this is something that I've been dealing with, you know, kind of just kind of played a role in my career, you know, over the course of, you know, since I was in college. And, you know, I just try to monitor it and, you know, try to make the best of what I could out of it. And it's just been something that I've had to deal with. And, you know, it's getting better since I've been here. The training staff has been amazing. I've been strongly encouraged to continue to, you know, stay in the training room and continue to work with those guys. And they've been nothing but good for me.
Eric?
Vic, when you did show up late, how were you welcomed by your teammates? Was there any awkwardness there at all? What was the reception like when you finally arrived to camp?
It was amazing. The guys here, I feel like, you know, it's a lot of humility amongst this team. You know, I feel like no guy on this team thinks they're better than the other individuals. So I feel like they just welcomed me with open arms, and I definitely appreciated that. And when you come to a new team and they do welcome you with open arms and they just allow you to be yourself and allow you just to, you know, express yourself in the way you want to express yourself, it definitely helps you out as far as, you know, becoming in a new environment.
Yeah, Vic, with the disagreements that you mentioned, was that between you and the team, you and your representation? Could you be a little more specific on that?
I don't want to go into too much detail on that. I feel like that's something that may be confidential between me and the other party. What's understood is understood, and we come to an agreement, and it's like it is what it is. We settled our differences, and we're both understanding of the situation. So it's all good. It's all smiles on both ends, and we're happy to work together.
Paul?
Nick, how did you show people you wanted to be here by not being here for 10 days unexcused at the beginning when John and Mike showed faith in you by giving you $9.5 million guaranteed? Didn't you make them look foolish?
No, I think it's you know, any team, nobody ever sees necessarily eye to eye. You know, people, even in the real world, they don't necessarily see eye to eye about certain things. They may have the same mission, but they don't necessarily agree on the same things. And I think here we are all on the same mission. That's to win the Super Bowl. You know, coming to this new environment, may not saw eye to eye about certain things, but now it's an understanding of what is expected of me. And, you know, I had some areas that I worked on myself as a human being, and, you know, I got that under control, and now we're on the right path, and we're headed towards being one of the best teams in the NFL.
The number one attribute they look for in guys is that they love football. Do you love football?
I love the game. I love playing the game. I know there's been a lot of question marks about whether or not I love playing, but I wouldn't waste nobody's time if I didn't love playing the ball. Like, playing ball, then if I didn't love playing ball, I would tell the coach to just go look for somebody else that may be better fit for the organization. But I'm not going to give nobody no half-hearted effort. I want to give them the best of what I got, and that's by, you know, making sure I'm mentally prepared and physically prepared.
There's Vic Beasley with the national media today. Blaine, for him to be offered to the media today for the first time, you think that means he might be good to go on Sunday?
Yeah, man, I guess I feel that way because only that's what happened with Clowney. Yeah. And then he practiced. And then, so, yeah, I'm assuming now Beasley's ready to rock and roll. He's practiced all week, so – yeah, I would expect him out there. I think I'm glad I heard that whole interview and entirely, you know, everything that was said, because I leave it a little different than what I heard earlier. He said he was dealing with this, his knee injury. I'm assuming his knee, because that's what it said on the report, throughout his career.
Since college.
Yeah.
That stuck out to me, too.
Yeah, that was a little alarming, like, uh-oh. Well, this dude is one and done. So, hey, man, we're going to get as much out of him as we can. That's how you got to be thinking as an organization. Now, he could try to pull the wool and say, hey, man, my knee hurt. You know, and that's why I'm not being effective. I'm like, oh, man, that I don't even care about anymore about, oh, what was the disagreement? What the disagreement is, you just make sure you healthy on that field. That's it. From this point on, yeah. I don't want to hear nothing about nothing. You stay in the training room.
I'm glad you said that, because it's funny about the disagreement. Like, I really don't care about it, but it is interesting. Just, I mean, there's a part of everybody that wants to know everything that's going on. So you are curious as to what that meant. But he said he had some things to work out, a little disagreement here and there. Those things are behind us. Declined to say with whom he had that disagreement. I mean,
right.
It's weird.
Was it with his agent? Was it the GM? Was it his cousin? I mean, who was it? Was it the coach? So we'll never figure it out. I mean, we don't know. We can just throw out all kind of stuff and speculate. I mean, I'm not in the business of speculating. Not like that. I mean, the window is so big here of where we could go with this. I have no idea.
No idea.
The issue was with what they disagreed on.
In terms of what we'll see on the field, so obviously it'll take him a minute, right? I would think. I mean, we've seen that with Clowney. There's a ramp up session before you become yourself.
But those guys in the trenches, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You got to get in the game shape until you get on the equipment. You're out there playing, so hopefully you get in it sooner or later. I would assume it would take probably about 2 or 3 games for those big guys to get in that kind of shape. Now, he's a speed guy, so it could come faster or sooner or later how much they do with the reps, but they haven't, you know, really paid attention to the reps with Clowney or anybody really, you know, so Correa hasn't done a lot. I mean, as far as even in the rotation, enough to even talk about. So yeah, man, he better be rock and rolling. And if he's up there, you know, panting like a dog, they're going to say, stay out there, bro. 9.5
9.5 million.
9.5, man. As my boy Joe Salavea used to say, who's now an Oregon assistant head coach, hey, man, it's a long way to that sideline, man. I get just as tired running to the sideline and then have to run back out here.
Because so I can catch my
breath. Right here.
I can catch my breath in between plays.
Right. I can just stand right here, man. Those big dudes, man, they different cats now. So hopefully, he can get after the quarterback and all be lost and we'll all forgive and won't even remember about he didn't give us anything about, you know, about who we had a disagreement with. And his knee would be perfectly fine if he gets three sacks, one cost fumble, and a touchdown. Yeah.
Right. And that's the, I think that's the pressure he puts on himself. Not that he probably cares, but when you say things like that, you need to produce, because if you don't, then people are going to start pointing at all those things and start bringing it back up. And,
oh, you care. The players care.
You think he
cares?
Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think he cares. If you don't, then you've just been living off your talent. That'll go away immediately when you get in the NFL. But most guys care because they want to show that they are what they're worth, you know, what they got in their money. I mean, they want to show that they're, you know, their worth. So, you know, Clowney wants to come out there. I think Clowney was actually trying too hard at times, you know, losing sight on contain maybe, but thinking that he'd go make a play because he wanted to prove that he's Clowney and I'm a disruptor and I can do these things instead of just doing what the actual defense calls for. And then he missed out on his job. And that happens sometimes because you're with a new team and you want to show them.
Did you know? It's funny. I was going to bring that up to you because I thought he got up the field a little bit too much in the Denver game on a couple of plays, and they ran right by him.
Yeah, he was supposed to have contained on those plays.
Yes. Did you notice a difference at all from week one to week two with him?
I would say he did more so what he was supposed to do in his assignments. But he still, there's a part of him that he's got some natural instincts that he does a little bit of guessing in there.
Yeah.
That sometimes it could hurt him, you know. But, hey, you know, when he makes a big play, nobody says anything, you know. And it was, you know, kind of a, I'm going to do my own deal here. But when he does bad, within the scheme, you know, then it's not good, especially in a run game. So, yeah, and those things happen. But ultimately, you got to trust in your other guys and start believing, just doing your job. And things will start falling into place. They get Beasley back out here with Clowney and Simmons and Harold Landry. And then you're talking about, you know, and then you get Roberson in the rotation. I know he's out this week. But now you got a nice group of guys you can keep fresh, ready to rock and roll. Then you get a Dory back and everybody else stay pat. I think then now the defense will start getting better each and every week. But I'm a little concerned at this point with the defense not being able to stop the run. And the Minnesota Vikings, they're going to try to run because Dalvin Cook is the real deal. He's legit. He's top five running back in the NFL.
Blaine Bishop from Blaine and Mickey, 1-3 weekdays on 104.5 The Zone. I wanted to ask you about the secondary. So Malcolm Butler last week kind of scared everybody by not practicing on that Friday leading up to the game, but then played 96% of the snaps. 72 out of 75, which was very helpful because they're rotating some other dudes around the rest of the secondary. So I wanted to get your take on how Christian Fulton, Jonathan Joseph, and Chris Jackson all held up. And I know Chris Jackson's out. That's a whole other deal this weekend. But how did those guys hold up last week?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I mean, considering I was really concerned because Malcolm Butler came on, you know, our show there with Mickey, and he didn't give any insight into that. Now, we didn't ask him, so he didn't volunteer any information, but that his quad was kind of bothering him. So I thought he gave a great performance. We're talking about quad. We're talking about stopping and starting enough where he wasn't practicing. Then it was questionable for the game. I thought he did a great job. I don't know how he did that. And, you know, naturally he gave up some catches, but nothing that hurt the team. He gave up the big deep one, which you never want to give a deep ball, but that was a double move. Got caught looking in the backfield after the double move. Got to be patient. That's his aggressiveness. Got to relax, get back to what what makes him really good. And those things, you know, worked out. So I'm glad. I'm just hoping he can continue it. Joseph actually has played better than I expected, only because every time I see a video of him at practice, which that's all we get to see, he's always getting beat deep. And I go, oh, man, the old 35, 6-year-old guy, man, I don't know. You know, you used to be 4-2. Now you're like 4-5. Well, he gets in games. He does a really good job. He understands, you know, all coverages, weaknesses, all formations, and what you're getting. He does really well. He just keeps getting nicked up. And that's another sign of, EO guy.
Yeah.
You know, you used to could take those shots in the forearm. And I mean, like, dang, man, my forearm feel like it's about to fall off. So yeah, he's done a good job. Chris Jackson, actually, surprisingly, which I thought he was pretty good, but he's done better than I expected. But he's gotten the reps. Now he's got the hammy. Christian Fulton is getting better. He got a tip ball interception. You take the gimmies. But I think he's getting into his groove and starting to understand how the NFL and how he can be successful. It's going to be a really big test for him in the slot. Because the slot, talk to anybody who played DB, is the hardest spot alive. You got to really say, this is what I want to do. It's going to become a job. Now, guys are going to start getting drafted higher just to play this position because of all the pass game now. They're almost like starting corners or slash corner safety guys. And so those guys are very valuable. That's why, you know, Logan Ryan, his value, because he can play safety, he can play corner in the crutch, and he can play that nickel spot. You got to be able to read the run game. Got to be able to get in there and blitz. All right, now you got to go back and do zone. Understand who you communicate. Now you were working with linebackers on run game fits. Now you're working with the corners on the pass game, right? Oh, now you're working with the safeties when you're back deep. And not only are you lined up a nickel, oh, no, DNP's defense? Oh, yeah, now Vrabel's defense? You go from nickel to, oop, we disguise. I'm going to deep middle. Whoop, now you're a safety in the same position. So that it's a multi-position there, that nickel dime spot, that is, it takes a really smart football player that has to really go through every situation to understand what he's actually supposed to do. And until you go through those things, or you're going to get it out, because the coaches can't go over every single scenario that may happen in a game. It's just not going to happen.
Live and learn. Last week, you told us Titans would win a close one against Jacksonville.
I did.
I went 31-13, but you had me nervous, and you were right. What do you think about this matchup real quick on the way out, Titans at Vikings?
Man, I really feel like on paper they should really control this game and dominate the game, but that scares me whenever I say something like that, because they got some injuries to some key players. The secondary guys are young, and some of those guys are hurt. The D lineman is hurt and opted out. Cousins not playing well. They haven't gotten the ball to Delvin Cook. They've gotten behind in every game. Yeah. Everything tells me, like, okay, they're going to try to run the football. Titans have been good against the run. It's probably the only negative thing you could say. So they're going to do everything to stop the run. The Titans should win this game probably and be in control of this game the whole way through. I don't know the score. I think they should beat them by at least 10 points. I think that should happen. If they start off like they've been starting and just control and be the team that they should be, even if they play like they've been playing, I think they will play better. Because I think that's where, especially defensively, they're going to keep getting better each and every week. Surprisingly, the offense is ahead of the defense with no preseason. So I think they're going to win the game by 10. That's all, as far as I'm going. That's, in this game, that's a blowout.
I love it. Blaine Bishop, he's going Titans double digits. Hey, Blaine, have a great weekend, man. I see that Vols hat on there representing.
Yes. See you next week, 3HL. Yep.
I love it. All right, thanks, Blaine. At B. Bishop 23. Josh Ward with three things Tennessee needs to do to secure victory in South Carolina. That's next on 104.5 The Zone.